Well, welcome back. It's session number 6. Can you believe it? Can you believe we've gotten this far? I'm so excited because here's where we're in the home stretch. And this is where, if you thought the other stuff was great, you ain't seen nothing yet. So congratulations, and I want you to know that you're more than halfway through. Now think about it. Think about how much you've learned so far. And also think about how much value you've already added to your life. If you've been doing the exercises, then you're probably starting to notice some changes in you. Maybe how you speak or how you view things and how you approach things and how you talk to people. But I'm curious, what is the value to you of what you learned so far? Answer that question for yourself. What has it been worth for you emotionally so far and economically and for your career? Have you noticed that it makes a difference already in your sales? And not only in your sales, but your ability to create influence in any context. Now that we've completed phase 1 of the 10 steps to increasing your sales, entitled Engage, it's time to move into phase number 2. And there are 2 steps in this phase. Number 6, qualify them, and that's the subject of this session. And number 7, create conviction and test close, which we'll cover on the next session. So to qualify them, have you ever been in a selling situation where you really created interest, you spent time with that person, maybe spent quite a bit of time with that person, only to find out at the end of your presentation that your product did not fit their needs, or they weren't the decision maker, or they weren't qualified financially to purchase your product? I know I have. It kind of feels like a waste of time or a waste of energy. Or on a personal side, that it was actually your son who tore apart the kitchen and not your daughter. Or that your boss doesn't actually have the authority to give you a raise. Or even more personal, your spouse doesn't even want the new dress that you were going to talk her out of anyway. This step, qualifying them, is about discovering some basic information about your customer. So here's Tony now.
So we've completed the first phase of the selling process. We've been able to engage the customer or client. And we went through 5 steps. And let's think about what they were. We started out in preparation. Before we ever got out in the field, we sat down and we did the preparation by talking to some referrals, by maybe going to the library, talking to some key people. We want to find out everything we possibly could about our prospect in advance. And then also want to make sure we're really up to date on our own product. If you're a real estate agent, you went out and you're checking out properties on an ongoing basis. If you're a stockbroker, you know exactly where the key stocks are right now. In other words, you really know your product. You know all the advantages and benefits, and you're ready to share them with someone. Thirdly, you remember you did your preparation from the standpoint of knowing every objection that could come up. And you got a way to handle all of them confidently. Not where you have just a bunch of closes, but where you and your gut know there's no problem. You can handle anything they bring up, and you know the kinds of things that a person's going to bring up. And you had a plan on how to really manage your time and make things work out there. So basically, you were prepared. From the preparation stage, you went out of that and decided, hey, I'm going to turn myself on. And that was getting yourself to level 10. That was putting yourself in a peak state. And you recall the things we did so that you have all of your ability and skill available to you. And once you're turned on, now you can really tap your real ability. And the third thing we talked about was making sure that now that you're all turned on, you're prepared, you got to go do something. So you got to reach out and make contact. You got to make sure that you don't just hang back there and be all excited, but you do something with that excitement called find a human being and talk to them. And oftentimes salespeople say, well, gosh, you know, I really don't know where to start to make contact. Well, go outside, pick up a rock, throw it high in the air, and wherever it drops, start there. Next person walks by, go, you're the first person after the rock. That'll get somebody's attention. You can begin to speak to somebody about something. What I would tell you is you might want to create for yourself a prospecting library or a prospecting book where all you do is build up possible prospects so that what you've got really is this tool chest of ideas and people to communicate with so you never feel like, oh, I'm going to run out of prospects. You go right back to that place where you're building it up, this giant file of potential prospects. I would give you that as another additional piece. And then while you're making contact, what you need to do is make sure you think of all the ways to get attention because it's not just about making contact but getting your attention as well. We talked about screaming pigs and doing some other unique things to make sure you got a hold of that person's attention, not just being in front of them for the moment. We talked about how you could really connect with the person, that now that you got their attention, you got to make sure that they trust you and that they really fully appreciate that you're there with their interests in mind and not just your interests in mind. We talked about how to do that by deep caring and really caring about strangers, becoming their friend, how to do it through compliments, not just flattery, but real compliments, sincere compliments, and how to build those up and prepare for them, and also through the process of matching and mirroring. And then finally, we said, okay, to have them fully engaged, we got to not only be in a situation where we're prepared and we're turned on and we've made contact and got their attention and we're their friend, but we also got to have their interest and we got to make them hungry so they really want to hear our presentation. It's not until they're really hungry to hear it that we got enough interest that anything you're going to say is going to have any impact anyway. And we talked about how to do that with something we called units of interest. The ability to make a big fat claim and right behind that state because and give them a fact. And what that'll mean to you is, and you give them a benefit, and what that really means to you is, and give them even stronger emotional reason to buy right now. Some deep thing you know is linked to what they really, really want. And then backing all these things up with giving them some evidence, but making the evidence real brief or alluding to it. Because all you're trying to do right now is get interest. You're not trying to convince them in that stage called creating interest, step five. And then finally, getting permission to probe for problems. So you can now leave the engaging mode, but can now move into the actual process of enrolling them to purchase. Now, what's what we've done so far? We've engaged somebody. Now what we got to do is we've got to enroll them. Now, how do you enroll somebody? The way you enroll them is you got to know who this person is and what their needs really are. And so that's exactly what we're going to do. So let's now move on to step number six. And step number six is probe for problems and magnify the hurt. Now, I know, again, that may not sound real attractive, but knowing how to be able to take something that somebody wants and get them associated to the fact that they're not having it now and the pain that comes from that is quite motivational. But you've got to know who you're dealing with. The biggest challenge that 99% of the salespeople that I talk to who are having challenges have is they're trying to sell somebody blind. That is, they've got a little bit of information about the customer and they're trying to be able to market to them. Or they have no information. They've been going out there and just giving their presentation without first finding out who they're dealing with. That's why I didn't just go from getting them interested to showing them my product. I want to first find out who the heck is this person? What are their real deep wants and needs? What's inside of them? And so we basically are going to look for three ways to qualify people, to really find out when we're qualifying. We don't want to just know, do they have the money? We want to know that too. But we want to know, what are their real problems? What's inside of them that we can help them to solve? What's a problem there? What's an emotional feeling that's not being fulfilled that really deep down inside their heart they wish it was? That's our job. And then we want to magnify it so they're motivated. Again, much like somebody who might be overweight, they may need to lose weight, but they won't. Motivation requires that they get enough desire, and the desire means plenty of reasons too, like all these benefits they'll get, and plenty of reasons that if they don't do it, it's going to hurt. And get them to feel that and be associated to it. So the way we're going to do that is we're going to start with the first aspect of qualifying, which is very simple. And the first aspect is remembering a real simple phrase or frame, and that is called NWAM. N-W-W-A-M. NWAM. It stands for basically the five things that you're going to want to know up front as quickly as possible when you're in the stage of qualifying the prospect. And NWAM stands for N for needs. You'll want to know what somebody's needs are. Now, I should mention to you that, as I mentioned earlier, people usually buy their wants, not their needs. But if you have their needs and you can show them how by fulfilling a want they can also support a need, then that gives them more justification to follow through. For example, the difference between a need and a want would be you might want a car because it is the most beautiful car you've ever seen in your life, or you may want a car because your best friend has one or your competition has one or you've heard it's the best in the world. You may need a car that'll get you from here to there consistently without breaking down. So your needs may not be met by a Ferrari, but the bottom line is your wants may be fulfilled by a Ferrari, and you're going to buy wants probably, most people, not all, depends on where they are and what their values are. But most people are going to buy their wants before their needs. You'll want to know both so you have enough leverage to know how to persuade someone. So N is for needs. W, I've already clarified, it's for wants. You're going to want to find out what are the customer's wants. And these are questions that should be going through your mind and questions you're going to want to be asking them. And you're going to design a couple questions under each one of these to be able to find out the person's needs. It's going to be part of your assignment here. The third W is for wounds. Not wants, but wounds. What I want to know when I'm dealing with someone is what are some of their psychic wounds? I'm going to explain what that is. Most of national advertising, 99% of it, we're talking Madison Avenue now. People that are spending $5, $10, $15, $20 million a year on a particular account very easily, drop in a bucket. What they look for primarily in putting together a commercial are what are your wounds? What is it deep down inside of you that hurts that they can open up and show you how to heal that pain through their product or service? And this is the exact way they describe it. It's where I got the initial idea in my head about relooking at my idea of selling and seeing that wounds or pain or hurt was very, very powerful. Not to harm someone, but to open up feelings that are already there, get them associated, and get them motivated to change. So we're going to find out a person's wounds. A is to find out whether they have authority. The authority to be able to make the purchase, which especially when you're selling in a corporate environment, but it's pretty critical. It's also important when you're home environment. If you're talking to the husband, you better make sure that his wife's going to be happy about this or vice versa. So it's real important that you feel and find out before you go into your presentation in any depth, who's going to have to give authority to this? Maybe there's a third party. Maybe they're going to tell you that their accountant has to check it over before they can make a decision. The time to find that out is up front, not after you've done a presentation. If I have somebody tell me their accountant's got to handle it, the first thing I do is say, well, let's schedule a time for all of us to sit down together. Because I don't want to do a presentation, have them go back and try and explain what I told them to their accountant, or you and I both know what's going to happen, or their attorney for that matter. So what I always want to do is find out, do they have the authority? And that's real simple and upfront and basic. And last one is M, do they have the money? Is the person in the frame of reference where financially where they are qualified to be able to have your presentation? So you need to be able to find out, do they have the resources or access to the resources, or could they qualify for the resources that would allow them to be able to make an investment in your product or service? So NWAM, needs, wants, wounds, authority, and money. Those five need to be answered up front, and they're very, very critical, because if you don't answer those, you can do the entire sales presentation and then find out the person wasn't qualified, or you're trying to sell them, but you're selling to somebody else's wants or needs, the person you studied in your sales class, or the person your trainer thought you were supposed to speak to, instead of the person who's right here in front of you. You've got to remember that every single person you meet, every person is unique. And so what you want to do is find out exactly who this person is in front of you and what are this person's needs. So I would say to you really that there are two things that you got to remember in terms of working with prospects and helping them to convert from just being prospects to really being customers. And I'd say the first one really is that you have got to realize that if a prospect is not aware of their problems, if they don't feel the problems, they have them but they're like not paying attention to them, they're going to have no motivation to buy. An undisturbed prospect will not buy. And when I say disturbed, remember there's lots of ways to be disturbed. If you notice all of a sudden that something new comes out on the market, and that new thing may be the best computer. They just came out with this new Mac computer, and until you get it, you have a little bit of pain because you think, God, I keep using this computer, and it's not as good. It was fine a couple days ago, but now you have this wound because you don't have something that you think is really important. Now, again, everyone's values are different, and I'm giving you metaphors that may not work for you at all, but we all have them, every one of us. And so what we want to find out is we want to figure out what do they want, and we want to disturb that prospect. They're not sufficiently disturbed. Nothing's going to happen. So that's what this process is about. It's about probing for the problems, finding out some interests that aren't being met or some real problems that they're even aware of that aren't being met, and then magnifying the hurt. Stir it up. Disturb them. Get them to pay attention. Sell them back their hurt. Somebody tells you a problem or they tell you a situation, and they say, well, gosh, you know, I'd really like to have that. And you say, well, gosh, you know, not having that, that must, you know, create some challenges. Since you don't have that, what does that mean to you? What do you miss out on because you don't have this situation? Well, don't you deserve to have that? See, what you're beginning to do is stir up within that person some emotion, and that's what you need to do. So before we do anything else, I want you to stop right now, and I want you to design three questions for each of these five qualifying questions you need to have answered in your mind. That is three questions to qualify what are their needs. I want you to design three questions that will help you find out their real wants. I want you to design three questions that will help them discover some of their wounds. What are some of the things inside that they really want that aren't being fulfilled and, you know, it kind of hurts inside, especially if they start thinking about it. Number four, make sure you ask three questions that you can ask in any environment to find out if somebody has the authority to make a decision. And finally, five, three questions where you can elegantly find if they have the money and where you don't insult somebody by the way you do it, where it's elegant and it's effective and the person feels respected and supported. So let's do that right now, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about how to emotionally blueprint your customer, how to find out the exact emotions that drive them most and the emotions they'd like to avoid at almost any cost. So let's do this exercise first right now.